We continue our series, David Rockstar, and this morning we're looking at singer-songwriter, and we talked about before that David wrote almost half of the Psalms in the Bible, 73 of 150, and he was also a singer, and that he was recruited by Saul to be, or Saul's sort of court, to be the one who sort of calmed Saul down and to sing to him. And I thought that it would make sense to pause for a moment and to think about David as a singer and songwriter. And to do that, I would like to pause and reflect on Psalm 23, his number one hit of all times. So, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, I heard about this shepherd that was out in the countryside one day, and he was watching his sheep. His sheep were spread all over both sides of the road, and all of a sudden he's out there in this serene moment, and this Porsche dries up and screeches to a halt, and this guy gets out with a really nice Armani suit, designer sunglasses, and a designer watch, and he comes up to this shepherd and he says, "Listen, I'll tell you what, if you'll give me one of your sheep, I'll tell you how many sheep that you have." And the hillside was covered with sheep, and so the shepherd was impressed with that, so he said, "Okay, you're on." And so the guy gets out his laptop computer, and he gets out his portable GPS, and he hooks up to the satellite, he does some scans, gets out an Excel spreadsheet, he's got all this information there. And finally, he turns to the shepherd and he says, "You have 1,586 sheep." And the shepherd is astounded by that. And he says, "Okay, you can have a sheep." And so this guy picks up this animal and puts it in the back of his Porsche. And the shepherd turns to this guy. He starts to get in his car and he says, "I tell you what, if I tell you your profession, will you give me my animal back?" And so this guy says, "Sure." He says, "You're an IT guy." And the IT specialist said, "How did you know that?" He said, "Well, it's simple. First thing is, you showed up without being called. Second thing is, you charged me an awful lot of money to tell me something I already knew. And thirdly, you know nothing about my profession, so give me my dog back." Oh, man. Sorry, all the IT people. But in any case, well, we're thinking about this shepherd psalm this morning, and we're thinking about David, and as I said, in addition to many other things, we think about being sort of a rock star, and as much as he wrote 73 of the 150 psalms, he collected the rest, and other people did as well, but he was the main force behind that. He was also a singer and played the harp, which is sort of the guitar of the day. But I think there's something deeper in this whole thing, is it shows something about the core of who David was, and I think there's a lot that we can learn from that. And so to pause for a moment and to think about this psalm and to think about that in contrast to or part of the backdrop for David's life. And the first thing is, when you think about this, I think David, first of all, when he was young and when he was a shepherd, before he was even anointed as king by Samuel, when he was really a teenager, we believe. And you think about him out there in the maybe perhaps even distant pastures in the out in the countryside. His brothers, when Samuel visited his father Jesse, his seven brothers were, you know, all around the house, and you wonder why any of them weren't out in the pasture with the sheep as well. But apparently David was okay with doing that. But maybe he found that quiet moment when he could be out there and to reflect on it. And I think many times in our own lives, you know, we may think we're doing a menial task. We may think that we're far from the action. And we could just take a moment like David and to really think about what God is teaching us through creation and what we're doing and what might be a menial task, maybe exactly what God has to teach us some great truths, even as I believe that he did David. And so the first thing when we think about this psalm is I think that it shows us that the good shepherd provides. So the first thing is the Lord is my shepherd. And David is able to reflect on the fact that he is a shepherd of these sheep and that God is a shepherd of him. In fact, of all God's people. And so to think about God as our shepherd, what does that mean? I think the first thing is the shepherd knows the sheep and all their needs. And the first truth is the good shepherd provides. And I love it. It just starts it this way. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. That's beautiful, isn't it? I shall not be in need. I shall not want. Now, I think that part of that is that David is able to have a deep trust in God, that God is watching over him, that God has a plan and purpose for his life, and that God will provide all of the needs that he will ever have in his life. Now, David had a lot of needs. Now, maybe out there, David's just wondering, what is my ultimate career in life, my purpose, and all those sort of things. God had a plan and purpose for that, and God is providing along the way. And later in David's life, right after this moment where we've had this moment where you recall that Samuel called David. David, even though he was the youngest, even though that we think he was small in stature, and really the least likely in many respects to be king, and yet God looks at the heart, not at the outside. And then, of course, we talked about David as he faced Goliath and that he had faith in that moment. And then we talked about his friendship with Jonathan. But in this moment here, when you think about David, just as he had defeated Goliath, just as he was with Saul, it won't be long where David is being hunted by the king of the Israelites. That's Saul. And Saul wants to take his life because he realizes that David is a threat to the kingdom. And David ends up running out to the wilderness. Right? And he has to live in the wilderness. In fact, he's living in a cave, and he has to trust that God will provide for him. Now, God had already taught him some things about living out in the countryside, in the wilderness even, because he was a shepherd. He lived off the land, at least in some respects. But God was providing day to day, and he was learning to trust day to day, something really that would be a key to his life down the road. Let me just ask you for a moment, how are you at trusting for your daily needs? Are you start to get anxious and worried like I do sometimes, right? And have you had a moment where you just didn't wonder where things were going to come from and God really showed up in an amazing way? For my own life, one really great moment of my life was I was going to seminary and I was accepted and then something happened in my family and I had to sort of pause for a semester and then I called up the registrar and I said, well, okay to come back the second semester. And she said, well, you can come, but we don't have a place for you to stay. I said, well, that's kind of a problem because I'm not a shepherd. I can't live off the land, right? So I said, well, do you have any suggestions? She said, well, there's some people around school that sometimes rent out their homes. And this is before the internet. I got to just give my age away here, but it was, you know. And I couldn't get online for newspapers or anything like this. And she said, if you just start knocking on doors, then, you know, maybe someone will let you in. I'm thinking to myself, well, you know. I'm going to drive. This is in Yale in Connecticut. And so I drove all the way from Pennsylvania. I said, okay, God, we're just going to do this, you know. And I started real early in the morning, so it'd still be daylight when I got there, right? I saw the register, took care of classes, and I said, hey, you got any people that have posted on the bulletin board? She said, no, sorry, but if you go down this neighborhood, you can start knocking on doors. And I'm not really a door knocker. I got to tell you, I don't know if there's any door knockers. You know, more power to you. So I drove down to this really nice street. And I thought, well, if I'm going to get rejected, why not get rejected by really wealthy people at really wealthy places? And so my car was just packed full of stuff and pulled in there and in front of this place with walls, right? Looked like a castle. And I just said a prayer. And honestly, the reason I parked it was the whole neighborhood was nice, was there was an empty parking spot right there. So I parked there, and I said this prayer. Honestly, I got to tell you, when I said the prayer, I banged my head against the steering wheel because it was that kind of a prayer. So I took a deep breath. I got out, and I walked through this gate, which is open, and then I walked up to this door, which is a big old door, and I started, you know, banging on the door. And this lady comes out, and she seems like a very nice lady, and she said, how are you doing today, young man? I was young back then. And I said, I'm doing fine. And then she said, how can I help you? And I said, well, I'm looking for a place to stay. And she said, oh, she said, well, I do sometimes. I've rented out a room before to college students like you. And she said, well, when did you need a room? And I said, well, actually, tonight. That was awkward. So she said, okay. She said, let's sit down and talk. So we sat down out there. She has this little garden with a little table. And she serves iced tea. And we begin to talk. And she was just the nicest person. It was just this beautiful home. It was like a little castle thing. And her daughter came out, too. She said, well, my daughter's going to the University of Arizona. And she's leaving, you know, shortly. And we do have an extra room. And she started talking more. And she said, well, okay, you can go ahead and stay. And so I said, well, how much is it going to be? And she said oh, really, if you just take care of the electric bill for that little room, you'll be fine. And it was just a pittance. And so she takes me up to this room. And it's actually in a corner. And it's like this circular staircase, like going up to the corner of a castle. And I get up there, and this room overlooks the garden, which is manicured. And so she said, will this do? I said, we're good. So the interesting thing was, and of course, I mean, anything would have been fine, frankly, but I ended up having the nicest room of any of the classmates that I had. So they come down and say, man, are you staying here? But I think that I learned from that God does provide for needs, and it doesn't have to be palatial for sure, but sometimes you have to take a step of faith and believe that God will provide. And if you'll trust God in those moments, you'll find that God comes through. And someone once said to me, you know, sometimes you need to be put in a place where unless God shows up that day, it's all over. It's just lost. And it's true. I wouldn't want to put myself in those kinds of places. And I know many of you have been in that way, whether it is in a waiting room of a hospital or whether it is wondering about a job in the employment agency or wherever it is, but know that God will provide. David learned that truth. And the second thing is that God guides. And it says this, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, think about sheep, and someone has said, I only have known one true shepherd, which lived near my sister when she lived in Pennsylvania. He was a great guy, and he had all these sheep, and he confirmed this. He said, you know, sheep are some of the dumbest animals that there are. I mean, they look great, and I don't know, so some of you at the fair, maybe you disagree with that, but he said, you know, they're really sweet animals, but they are really dumb. And so the idea being is, these, and shepherds have studied this, is that sheep need some guidance on where they're to graze, right? They need to be away from predators like wolves and bears and what have you. And then when it comes to water, sheep, of course, are usually full of wool, right? And if they wade too far out in the water, the swift current will just pull them downstream and they can die. And so a shepherd needs to find the right kind of grazing pasture that's safe for the sheep. And the shepherd needs to find still water that the sheep can go out a little ways in and find a drink. And so the shepherd guides the sheep in that way. And in our own lives, I think that God needs to find places for us, and we need to be able to trust God's guidance. We all need to find that place where there's sort of green pastures where we can lie down and we can gather strength. David knew this idea of restoring the soul. We need to find a quiet place of still water where we can drink. We think of the Holy Spirit. Sunday morning worship is part of, I think, our green pastures and hopefully still waters. And this idea that he restores my soul. We all need sort of this day of rest, not just sort of from our weary bodies, but our weary soul, our emotions, our spirit, our whole being needs to be restored by our Creator. And so to take a moment, and I think David knew that key. It says, too, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And righteousness is really just a fancy theological word for right relationships. And I think that David knew that for most of his life. There's a study on shepherds sort of in ancient times. And one of my favorite images of Jesus or the Good Shepherd is the one where Jesus is carrying the little lamb. Have you seen that? Or just the Good Shepherd is carrying a little lamb. And I found out some of the story behind that, and sometimes shepherds do just carry a lamb, but sometimes a sheep who sometimes go astray, sometimes will just have this sort of obstinate spirit. And they'll wander off and keep wandering off and keep wandering off and keep wandering off. And it's really dangerous for them because if they're little, they can sort of fall off a cliff or they can be swept by a river and they can be get get to the edge of where it's safe, and they can be attacked by a wolf or a bear or other predator. And so sometimes in ancient times, if we had this wayward lamb, the shepherd would actually take one of the legs of the little lamb and would fracture it, it would break it. And then it would set the leg for the lamb, and then it would carry that lamb. And in doing so, they would provide a relationship, a bond. And so for the rest of the shepherd's life, that sheep, the rest of the sheep's life, it would follow the shepherd closely. And I think in our own lives, maybe sometimes, there's this moment where some of us, at least, tend to be wayward sons and daughters. We go our own way. And there's that moment, I think, where we learn just by doing what we're doing that's maybe rebellious or wrong or what have you. We come up against a wall at a moment where our lives are shaken, and we come back to God, and God carries us in those moments. David had a moment like that too, which we'll really drill down later in our series. But David had a chapter in his life where he had a horrific sin in his affair with Bathsheba, and she was married to the general of the army. And God judged David for that affair. He also caused Uriah to be killed in battle. And Nathan the prophet confronted David. And David, in that moment, was woefully repentant. Of course, the damage had already been done. God did judge David, but David eventually found God's forgiveness and grace, but he strayed off the path of righteousness. It reminds me, if we don't take the time to sort of sit in the quiet pastures, the green pastures, and be near the still waters, to take time to restore our soul, we forget what it's like to travel the paths of righteousness. And sometimes things happen in our life where God brings us back. I think the other truth, though, is sometimes parents and grandparents, we worry about our kids. Maybe they've just sort of forsaken the faith for one reason or another. Know this, that God will eventually bring them back. And sometimes the very things that seem like harm in their life will be ways that God brings them back to the shepherd, even if God has to carry them through a chapter of life. And so the good shepherd provides, the good shepherd guides. And then it says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So it is that the good shepherd protects us. And David knew what it was like to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And he was a person that often probably faced a bear, we know, and a lion, had to ward them off from the sheep. I think that was a step of faith in his life. I think that that kind of a courage was tantamount for him, really part and parcel of him being able to face the giant Goliath with 5 stones and a slingshot when he was just a teenager. And we talked about that before, but David knew that God could protect him. Now, David, of course, was taking the battle to the giant Goliath. But in that, I think David is confident that God will protect him in the field of battle. Later on in chapters of David's life, David was a tremendous warrior, both as a young battle leader and later as a king, would face battle after battle after battle. Some of them really where Saul was threatening his life, but David believed that God could protect him. And I wonder in our own lives how much we trust God, that God can protect us. We've all been through this pandemic, and it's been something that's caused anxiety for all of us, I think. And but there's the day-to-day needs. I know folks that have lost a job. I know relationships have been under pressure. But God is there in the midst of all that. God is the one who created us. God is like this great bird, as the psalmist says in one place, that sort of puts their wings over their young and protects us. And so God is there protecting us along the road of life. And there's this wonderful phrase here, too, that says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And I think that's so true. Now, you may know that the rod and the staff were very different tools for the shepherd. The staff was the tool the shepherd would use with a curved end to bring a sheep back from a cliff, or if a sheep got too far in the water, the shepherd could take the staff and sort of pull the sheep back. Sometimes the sheep was just getting out of the way, he'd sort of pull it back from either the neck or by one of its feet. But the rod was a completely different tool. The rod was something that was like a blunt sort of bat, and used that against the predators that would come, a wolf or a bear. And so the shepherd never used a rod on a sheep because he didn't want to harm the sheep. The shepherd always cared about the best good of the sheep. He only used the staff and the rod against the bear and the lion, or who would come after the sheep. And so it is with us, that God uses the sternest instruments of protection against those who would come to thwart us and to endanger us. And God uses the staff to pull us back when we have gone astray. But God protects us along the road of life. This past week, we celebrated the life of Pat Shoemaker Wells. And as I was reflecting on that, Pat knew about not worrying about the valley of the shadow. And oftentimes, and even the Sunday before Pat passed away, she looked me in the eye as she was sitting out here in the gathering space in the chair. And I say, "How are you doing, Pat?" And she said, "Well, you know," she acknowledged that she was not feeling the best. Who wouldn't after that long battle with cancer? But she looked at me and said, "Now listen," she said, "we're planning a trip to Mississippi. We had a good trip to Kansas City. We're planning a trip to Mississippi." And she says, "I want you to know that as long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep on doing what I want to do. And when I'm not, I know where I'm going." And she had that kind of faith, that she knew that life was a gift from God every day, and she was going to live it with a spirit of adventure and do the best that she could. Even if she was sick, she was in worship here, right? She was very faithful about that, and enjoying some of the adventures and the day-to-day graces, but she had full confidence in knowing that when the Lord came to take her by the hand, that she was going through the valley of shadow with God's hand in hers to the promised land. And that's the kind of faith, knowing that God can protect us. Doesn't mean that things will always turn out the way that we want. Our life here in this earthly kingdom only lasts for so long. But it is an avenue to eternity, where one day God will take us from this life to the next. David knew that. Pat knew that. And many of you saints know that as well. God, the Good Shepherd, protects us. And then finally, God, the Good Shepherd, gives us peace. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Boy, you talk about peace. It's one thing to face enemies. It's another thing to have enough peace to sit down and know that God has provided the table for us. And it's so all-encompassing that God's peace is there. So you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and that is great peace. And then you anoint my head with oil. By the way, oil was used at the time, even as is today, from sunburns or from wounds, and so that provides sort of a peace and comfort that is deep. Oil is also a symbol of the Holy Spirit that brings us peace, a deep peace that passes all understanding. And then my cup overflows. Man, don't you love people have the attitude, "My cup overflows"? You know, there's people that my cup is half empty, and then there's people that my cup is half full, and then there's people that my cup overflows. And let me tell you about something about the people where their cup overflows. It doesn't have anything to do with their earthly blessings. It has to do with their attitude about God and God's Spirit in their hearts and lives. And so I challenge us to become people not just half full, but overflowing with blessings, and to look at that part of it. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That, friends, is a peace that transcends all understanding. Today, how well do you know the Good Shepherd? Know that the Good Shepherd knows you. The Good Shepherd is the one who provides for us, who guides us, who protects us, and who gives us peace. In closing, I want to think about this, that Jesus said that he was our Good Shepherd as well, even beyond King David and his premonition, his understanding of our Creator. Jesus said this, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not in this pen. I must bring them in also, for they too listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down my life of my own accord. Jesus is our good shepherd that provides for us day to day, for he's experienced our life, our struggles as one of us. Jesus is also the one who guides us. We're not alone in life, and Jesus is the one who protects us along life's way, and Jesus ultimately is the one who gives us peace, for he has paid the price for our reconciliation between ourselves and God. Today, wherever you are in your journey of faith, for it is a journey with hills and valleys, know that God loves you, that God knows you by name, and that God cares for you along the way of life. He provides, he guides, he protects, and he gives you peace. One last thought. A story, really, a true story, I'm told, of back in the early part of the 20th century. And there was a Shakespearean actor who used to travel through the countryside. And for small fees, he would go to high school auditoriums, and the community would come in, and he would recite some of these great Shakespearean monologues. And at the end, he would take requests, and people would have him do some poems or different things, and it was always beautiful and entertaining. And at one particular evening, at the end, after he'd done these Shakespearean monologues and performed different things, a man in the back made a request that he would recite the 23rd Psalm. And this great Shakespearean actor was taken back by that, and he thought about it for a moment, and he said, okay, I'll do it on one condition. And so this older gentleman in the back of the room said, well, what is that? He said, I'll go ahead and recite the 23rd Psalm if you will recite it after me. And so the older gentleman said, okay. And so this Shakespearean actor recited the 23rd Psalm with just all kinds of emphasis and enthusiasm and punctuation and drama. And at the end of that, there is this thunderous applause from everybody that had attended. And then the Shakespearean actor looked back at this elderly gentleman and said, now, sir, would you recite the psalm? And so this elderly gentleman got up and recited the 23rd Psalm. At the end of his reciting the psalm, there was no applause, but there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And everyone was so moved by the way that he had delivered this psalm. And the Shakespearean actor looked out and he said, you know, that was the greatest recitation of the psalm I ever heard. And he said, I want to tell you the difference. The difference is that I know the 23rd Psalm, but this older gentleman knows the Good Shepherd. And so that's, friend, the question that is before us today. How well do you know the Good Shepherd? Not how well do you know the psalm? Amen.